Good evening, or good morning. About to say good evening. It's all right. Have you guys ever watched The Waltons? In the first season, I think it's episode 5, the episode is titled The Sinner. And the mother is concerned about her children and her husband and the state that their soul is in. And so they have a pastor who comes and stays with them for a couple of days. They're doing a tent meeting, tent revival. And the father butts heads with the pastor because he's outside practicing his sermon. And he's scaring the children because he's preaching about sin. And at the end of the episode, the children are baptized. The husband never comes to be baptized, but he has this weird view about God. Well, I worship God my way. I'll worship him the way I want to worship him. Now, understanding it's a show, Hollywood really takes a lot of poetic licenses with scripture and movies and TV shows based off scripture. But when we look at a sinner, it is someone who is lost, who has been defiled, and does things their way. Sin is a very serious issue, and I have been frustrated the past couple of days, couple of weeks, hearing news about certain men and women who were once Christians giving in to sin, and even schools who were centered around scripture in a solid way, who have given in to the ways of the world, and so forth and so on. Sin is consuming people who were once faithful. And it should be something that we are frustrated with, angry with. But we should not be surprised, shocked, because once again, we're flesh and blood. We are not perfect and will never be perfect. As I stand before you, I am not perfect. Even though I am a minister, that doesn't mean a thing. So when we look at sin, and it's a terrible thing to be a part of. Many look at sin as a pleasure-seeking thing, but the pleasure only lasts for a short time. And then these same individuals find themselves in a deep state of depression, whatever it may be, still searching for purpose, having that void inside of them, and searching for something to fill it, to make them happy, to bring them peace, to bring them hope. But sin is not the answer. And I think many of our brothers and sisters struggle with the idea of putting to death the earthly members, putting to death sin. I don't think they truly understand what that means by putting to death. Because as we continue throughout this month, the idea of being new, last Sunday we talked about the New Year, New Me crowd. They last for a short time and then they end up quitting and going back wherever they came from and continuing their old lifestyle. But as a Christian, it is a full-time commitment, a daily commitment, a lifelong commitment to be a follower of Christ. And so they go in with this mindset that, hey, if it gets hard, I always have a plan B. I can always go back to what I was doing. But that's not what Christ has called us to do. And so when we look at Colossians 3, and this is the whole, we're dealing with this whole passage here, and into Colossians chapter 4, what we have here with verse 5, starting off at the beginning, therefore put to death your members which are on earth. Put to death. What does that mean? When one dies, they no longer exist in this world. They are put out of existence. The only thing left are the remains, that shell, that we want, that we use now. This flesh, this shell made out of flesh and blood is all that is left. And it goes back into the dirt, becomes one with the earth, if you want to call it that. We see in many places, especially with Job, Job understood that he came into this world with nothing and he was taking nothing with him, that he would return back to the earth. But our souls return to God. And so we must understand to put to death is to put out of existence, to have nothing more to do with that lifestyle. Yet many will argue and will bicker about what is sin and what isn't sin. And they will get it incorrect. They will say, well, this isn't sin, when it clearly indicates in God's word that it is. We have that even in the church today. The article I gave you from Steve Higginbotham, it's a great article. It's titled Enough is Enough. And I hope you read it because it's a great article. But the problem with the church, it has become soft in its approach with sin. Now, I'm not talking about as a whole, but certain places, certain bodies, certain members have become soft in their approach to sin. They do not put to death sin. Going on down into verse 8 of Colossians 3, but now you yourselves have put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. And then beyond verse 5, he names other sins as well. Paul tells the Colossians, these are the things, these are the sins that you are to put to death. And when you look at the list of sins, I encourage you to study each sin mentioned in that list. If we had the time, I would. But we see these sins running rampant, being worshipped in our world today. And the church is to not have no part in it. Yet many do. It's a sad reality because I believe many Christians don't understand what sin does. When you allow it to linger, it only grows stronger and stronger into a point to where there is no return. We lose that guilt, that shame of what we have committed. We become numb to it. My wife and I have been watching prison documentaries, and it's called Lock Up, and they give these cameras to these prisoners to record what life is like inside of prison. And this one individual talks about, I have become numb to it all. And they call it institutionalized. You have become so used to being here. It's their own little world that they have created inside of these prisons. I mean, these men and women are intelligent. They create things that are beyond what we would ever think about doing. They can even create little tattoo guns. It's pretty interesting. But at the same time, these men and women are in there for a reason. They have committed crime. They have broken the law. And so some of them will never see the light of day again. But this one became numb. He says, if they let me out now, I'll just be right back in because I'm going to go out and commit crime. That's what I'm used to. That's what I have grown up in. The same thing for us in sin. The longer you remain in it, the more numb you become to where you no longer feel shame or guilt for it. And you come up with this mindset of, well, I'm going to hell. And there have been plenty of people I have talked to who are of the world that will joke about hell and say, well, we'll all be down there and partying it up. They don't understand. And so Romans 6:23, we understand, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's death, spiritual death, worse, far worse than physical death. Yes, we know we will die and pass on from this life. If not, when Christ comes back, absolutely we'll be ushered into eternity. But sin will not allow that. We will not gain eternal life. We will lose eternal life with sin. And that's why it's so important, Paul here to the Colossians, put to death, put out of existence sin, have nothing to do with it. That's how serious it is. And Paul understands it. The apostles understand it. The biblical Christians understand this concept that I do not want anything to do with sin. But once again, sadly, we have many brothers and sisters who don't care or may not understand it completely because they don't give time to understanding. It angers me, it frustrates me, but at the same time, we must understand flesh and blood, it desires the sinful nature. In 1 John 1, 8 through 10, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. There are many out there, and I have met a few who think, well, we don't have sin, but secretly they do. They are living in sin. They put on this holy mask when they come into worship. And they act like nothing's wrong. Oh, I'm fine. I don't have sin. They deceive themselves. Now, of course, there are those who will think of themselves as perfect. And there are some. I've never met anybody who has ever said that. In a joking way, sure. I joke with my wife all the time that I'm the perfect husband. But once again, do I mean it? No. I fall short daily. I have my battles. I lose. But the difference between me and the fake Christians, the lukewarm Christians, is that I feel that shame, that guilt. I come with a penitent heart and I repent of my sins because I know at that point I have been separated from God and I no longer have fellowship with him. And that's something I don't want to happen. I want to have fellowship. I want to do what is pleasing in the sight of God. In Proverbs 28:13, he who covers his sins will not prosper. But whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Want rid of your sin? You want to begin a new life? Then start by coming to Christ. Putting to death your earthly members. Putting to death sin. Because you understand there's nothing to benefit you from sin. To be in darkness. Yesterday I went to buy flashlights just in case we lose power. It pays to have light, doesn't it? So you can see where you are clearly going. In the dark, you cannot. You have no clue. You just keep walking until eventually you fall off the edge or you trip over something. You live in darkness spiritually. And the only outcome for it is eternal punishment. In Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, that he will not hear. At this point with Israel, their sin has separated them. He no longer hears them because of their iniquities. They have sinned against God. We just recently studied Exodus 32, the golden calf. After all that they had witnessed, they turned to idolatry, to sin. And not just idolatry, there were many sins being committed. They rose up to play. They were doing things that were not right. And guess what happened? The wrath of God poured out on all of them. It was not a day of laughter, of joy. It was a day of terror. A day of punishment. As we see, the only group among them that did not partake were the Levites. And then they were charged, they were commanded to go and to kill. Because God has no relationship with sin. We see in places with Elijah how he dealt with false prophets, how he dealt with sin. We see after the defeat of the prophets of Baal and Asherah, he commanded them to be taken down and slaughtered, to put to death, to put out of existence. Sin is a serious, serious, serious disease. It is a disease that's killing millions and billions of people spiritually. It's the number one killer in the world, yet people don't see it that way. And so one day, if we do not change, if you do not change, the wrath of God will come pouring out. In Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 23, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things." There are many who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. There are those who claim to be Christians, but they suppress the truth. In Galatians 1, Paul is surprised that they had turned so quickly from the truth to this false doctrine that was being dealt with among the Galatians. They turned quickly. That's what's happening in our country today, and really all around the world, but in our country specifically, having universities that were once firm in truth, turning away from the truth and perverting the gospel of Christ, God's word. It's a sad day. And the people who come from those universities and spread that same perverted gospel to all, telling them, "You're not in sin, you're fine. God loves you the way you are." When he doesn't, he calls all to repent, to turn, to put to death all sin. It's a sad day when things like this happen. Paul continues in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. He says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident," and he gives sin here. And at the end of that text, of that passage, "that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." It's that simple. Those who live for the world, who live in sin, and what God calls sin, it's sin. He is not pleased with it. He will not pat you on the hand and say, "Shame on you, now come on in." It's not who God is. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 14, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few to find it." Who find it? Excuse me. The narrow way is a hard and difficult path. To do what's right in God's eyes, to stand firm in truth, and to say, "This is sin, get rid of it, and make your life right with God." It's a hard way. It's a hard way to live. But is it worth it in the end? Absolutely. Because those who are faithful, the wrath of God will not be poured out on them. It will be poured out on those who are in sin, who are unrighteous. Sadly, many of our brothers and sisters don't understand. Or maybe they do understand, but they just don't care. They want to do it their way. And we see that a lot in our society today. People having problems with authority figures, whether it's the government or whether it's law enforcement, whatever it may be, if they have problems with that authority, they're going to have problems with God. God, who holds the ultimate authority, who have placed these people in these seats of power, we are to pray for, we are to respect, we are to obey. It's sin to disobey these governing authorities. And that's a sin majority of people are falling into, on top of others. I can go on all day talking about all this, about sin. And I know it seems like a lot that we talk about sin, but it needs to be taught. It needs to be reminded. In that article that you have, Steve Higginbotham was the same as me with the same mindset. Well, maybe hellfire and brimstone preaching isn't the way to go anymore. Well, we see the results of that. We see many not fearing God, not showing reverence. Many who question his word, who question what sin is, that's the result of it. Now, of course, we don't want to approach people directly and say, you're going to hell. You don't want that to be the first thing that comes out of your mouth. But you need to tell them about sin and what it can do to one soul. But we have gone so far away from it, and enough is enough. Those who are Christians are called to preach and teach the whole truth and to live it. Sin is not to be named among the saints. We are called to be blameless. We are called to be holy, set apart. We are called to be pure. We are called to be the way, the Christians, biblical Christians. And so what do biblical Christians do? Well, they obey God. They obey him and his entire word. They know he holds the authority. They know what he says goes. It's God's way or eternal punishment. That's what it comes down to. And for what God has done for us, he deserves it. Colossians 3, verses 10 through 11. And have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. The new man, and that's our whole thing about this whole month, the new man understands that he belongs to God, not the world, not to sin. He has been freed, just like the Israelites have been freed from the bondage of Egypt. But once again, they fall back into their old ways. They fall back into sinning, committing idolatry, disobeying God. The new man wants nothing to do. He puts to death sin. And he puts on that new self. He walks in newness of life. Study Scripture every day. Learn what is sin and what is not. Everything God calls sin, we are to put to death, put out of existence. To keep that new man, that new image, to continue to have the blood of Christ washing away our sins. It's so important. Because according to Hebrews, there will come a time, if we continue willfully sinning, that sacrifice, we will lose it. In John chapter 3, verse 36, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. The one who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the one who does believe will see eternal life. But simply not just believe, but obey. And we see so many times people will stop at belief and say, well, I believe. Well, even the demons believe. Even Satan himself believe. But they do not obey That's the key. To obey God, to obey His Word. That's what we are called to do. In John 3:16-17, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Should not perish. We have a choice to make. You who are not Christians this morning, you have that choice to make. You can choose to continue in sin, to continue in the world, and perish. You have that right. And God will honor your decision. But if you do not want to perish, put to death your earthly members. Believe and obey God. And you will find, you will see eternal life one day. And so how do we do this? How does one start that journey with Christ? Well, first, you must hear the word, Romans 10:17. You must believe the word, John 3:16-17. You must repent of your sins, Acts 3:19. You must confess your faith in Christ Jesus, Romans 10:10. It doesn't stop there. You must be baptized. You must be immersed for the remission of your sins, Galatians 3:26-27. Acts 2:38. Acts 22:15-16. And so forth and so on. Once again, it doesn't stop there. You must remain faithful. Hebrews 10:23. No matter how hard, and it will be hard, it's worth it for eternal life. And even while we are here living for God, we have hope, we have peace, we have joy. We have everything. God provides everything that we need. And so, if you're not a Christian, come to Him today. Don't wait. Give your life to Christ and you will see, you will receive many benefits that this world cannot give you, that sin cannot give you. And remain faithful. Or if you are a Christian and you have fallen back into your old ways, don't remain. Come with a penitent heart and repent of your sins and renew your walk with Christ. You know what He offers. Don't remain in sin. Don't cause your soul to perish one day. And so if you're here this morning and you need any assistance, don't be afraid. Come as we stand and as we sing.